Hey, everybody. This is Adam Todd Brown. Today's episode of Fightcast is brought to you by us, as always. Tickets for two of our Pacific Northwest shows are on sale now. Come see us December 11th in Seattle, Washington at the Comedy Underground. Those tickets are available on ticketweb.com. And also December 14th, we're going to be in Portland, Oregon. Those tickets are available on eventbrite.com. Or check our website, unpopularopinion.com/tour, for more information. And also, sign up for our subscription service if you haven't already. Lots of great stuff happening over there. connectpal.com/unpopularopinion. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
Hello. Welcome to Fightcast, the show where friends come together to become enemies. On this episode, Taylor Swift, with special guests Ellie McIlvaine, Lauren Rantala, and Sheck Wilde.
Lauren?
Lauren?
It's actually, all of the letters are silent.
All of the R's are rolled. Lauren, yeah. Rantala. Mm-hmm.
And we're recording. How exciting. This is Fightcast. Can't you tell we're in a fighting mood already?
I'm in a fastball mood. Hijacking it already.
Oh, Chet.
Also, my headphones are off.
Oh, are all the headphones off?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Just turn the thing on.
Ooh.
See how
it's
easy
like a
that
whole new world.
See how easy that was?
I was trying not to talk. Why don't you let us know who's here?
Okay. My God.
I'm getting real aggressive. We've been sitting for like 30 minutes. And I want to ask all the Taylor Swift questions, and I can't until we get everything in order. So I'm just trying to push this along because I am excited to be a part of this.
This is exciting. Chet is our guest moderator. We are fighting about Taylor Swift today. Taking the pro Taylor Swift side, Ellie McIlvaine.
Hello.
You are a comic, correct?
Yes.
This is my favorite. My two favorite things about Fightcast is I almost never know the people, which makes it like I have no favorites. I have no... and then also, I don't have to do anything when I do this podcast. It's great.
Kind of hang out, let people fight it out.
Get to let people argue.
Maybe intervene if things get real ugly.
No, absolutely
never.
Not. No.
Please don't.
No, we will just turn the recording up louder.
Did Danger and Jeff literally fight yet? Weren't they supposed to do that?
Soon. Okay. They're going to do it for charity. Oh, Jeff's going to annihilate him.
Fightcast turned into a real fight. You're both
really?
Safe, though. It's okay.
Yeah. We had a Fightcast that turned into a...
We had a UFC.
It's going to be an actual fight pretty soon. That's fun.
That's exciting. I hope you record that.
Oh, we will. But just the audio.
Yeah.
It's just going to be... And then Danger crying on the ground.
Which could be interpreted as anything.
Yeah.
Could be.
He just jerked off and then he's crying. And, you know.
As one does.
Yeah.
Lauren Rantala.
It's me.
You are representing the anti-Taylor Swift side.
Proudly.
Bow, bow, bow.
Bow, bow, bow.
This is exciting.
I'm really trying not to hijack this.
Still, do you have something to say about the band Fastball?
I do have something to say about the band Fastball.
Just
the only reason I'm really here.
Just say it. Well, also so, because we have to go see The Edge of 17 after
sure.
this.
Sure. For those that listen to Least Anticipated Podcast, we are seeing that tonight. And we're going to see it in my neighborhood now.
Yes. You live in the hood?
We live in the hood. We're going to be the only two white people, possibly the only two people at this theater. I don't know
I
who
we'll
in Crenshaw and Baldwin Hills would watch a movie about a 17-year-old.
Coming 17-year-old white girl coming of age.
I don't know. She had a really fire song about masturbating this summer. And
yeah,
I just
we might
like,
actually be creeped out by the people that are there.
I feel like that touched everyone.
For those that don't know, I'm currently on day 32 of a campaign to get the band Fastball to play a concert in my living room. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
Do either of you know the band Fastball?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Do you know that new Camille Cabello Machine Gun Kelly song?
Absolutely.
Okay. So they ripped that. That's a Fastball song from 10 years ago.
I know.
Okay. Okay. So now
you
know Fastball.
I didn't know song.
Yes. Oh God.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm so angry.
I knew I recognized it.
It's okay if
you
don't know.
I'm sure they paid them.
Nah, I don't know.
Okay, if you sung it a little bit, maybe I would know.
Am I out of my head, or was I out of my head? Was I out of my mind?
Okay, yeah.
How could I have? That's one of their songs. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. I mean, I have a perfect voice, but we don't.
Been advocating for them to get to play a concert at my. I'm not going to stop tweeting them until they play in my living room. Now, this last week, after I've been doing this for a month, they put out a crowdfunding campaign for their new album. It's a very typical, like, for $50, we'll send you a copy of our set list. For $100, we'll sign a CD, whatever. But a little gem jumps up by several thousand dollars at the end. For $7,500, they will play your living room.
Oh, shit.
Now, here's the thing. Oh, that sounds great. Chet, just give them $7,500. Dreams come true. No. Here's what I think happened. I think I've been tweeting them.
They got the idea from
They've
you.
They've been seeing it. I don't think anyone else is going to pay them $7,500. I think it's specifically, they're like, you know what? This guy.
This guy's got the cash.
So
it's right next to the amount. It's like, we'll play your living room, Jeff.
Yeah, $7,500 plus travel and accommodations. Not that it's not
plus
worth it.
Plus travel and accommodations?
First off, my couch comfortably sleeps three, so that's covered. And if they're coming out with a new album, they got to be doing some publicity in LA, you know. But a fan brought this up on Twitter, brought up their crowdfunding, and then I said it's no coincidence that Fastball's crowdfunding campaign's top prize is a living room concert. To which Miles, one of the three members of the band Fastball, quoted it and tweeted, "Make it happen, Chet." Look at that, encouraging me to give them money.
To give them $7,500.
I called you Jeff, and now I feel terrible.
No, that's fine. I mean, Jeff is the other guy.
Will you
so
take off a
that's insulting
point?
To Jeff. That's a compliment to me.
Will you take off a point for that?
It's not necessarily points. But quit looking at the sheet. I have tallied points already based on things that have happened off the mic.
My God.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
It's basically based small talk etiquette, you know. So I replied to Miles, and I said, if I simply pay, that'll cheat and take the fun out of the social campaign. Is there a Miles Tony duo option? Of which I was hinting at. I'm an accomplished percussionist. They don't need Joey to come out. I'll play drums. Save $2,500. To which Miles says, for 7,500 smackers, there's any option you want.
Wow.
No.
And
hard
he goes,
line.
So, but then he writes, fine print, I don't know Ben Folds. And he tags that Ben Folds. I did tour with that Stephen Page, but that was a long time ago. So that means he's been paying close attention to this campaign, because that was like day five of the campaign that I'm like, my dream lineup would be this.
Yeah.
So wow. I tweeted, who's endorsed Fastball the Band to play at my living room? Checkmark Ben Folds, checkmark Portugal the Man, empty box at Stephen Page waiting on you. Stephen Page did not reply.
You know what to do, Stephen Page. Is that all of the updates?
I don't want to hijack it. But real quick, I for day 30, I said it's been a month. Give this tweet a favorite to show Miles and Tony your love and tag them. And I said, if it gets 50 hearts, I will next week post a video of me singing You're an Ocean on the Ocean. To which you and Jeff retweeted, got it, a bump. And I said, if I get 100 hearts, I will post a different music video every day of me singing a Fastball song along the ocean, which it hit. So that's what I'll be doing next week. I'm going to shut up. This is the Taylor Swift podcast, not the Fastball podcast, but people should know. And now the fans are like getting on Fastball's case about they should do it for charity and raise money for anxiety and depression. So I've reached out to see how that affects.
We're
going to
guilt them into it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's,
I know.
That seemed
I know.
100%
they're both like,
necessary.
Why are you here?
No, I'm just amazed to know there's a whole story behind this Machine Gun Kelly Camila Cabello.
I will talk off the mic. In fairness to me, next Thursday is Thanksgiving. There won't be a regular podcast, so the people need an update.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
let's get into it. Normally, when I'm arguing, I let the guests go first, but y'all are both guests. Who wants to go first with an opening argument?
Lauren, do you want to take it away since you have the more popular opinion?
So polite.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I feel like I should empower you and let you take it.
Okay.
Do you want to do it?
All right. Well, I'll start off.
Okay.
For my opening statement, I'll say Taylor Swift is the wind beneath my wings. She is powerful in a terrifying way, and I respect her. I respect her more than probably my mother, probably
probably my deceased grandparents, all of which have made my life possible for me. But, I mean, for a couple of reasons. I mean, I grew up with her. You know, I'm a 24-year-old woman, so I grew up in the golden age of Taylor Swift. And so basically at every point in my life, she's spoken directly to me. And she's spoken directly to me on purpose in order to squeeze me of every dollar that I have. And I am totally okay with that. I think that as a young woman who started as a country artist, like this little blonde girl who was singing sad songs about boys she had crushes on, who wore sparkly dresses and cowboy boots, the fact that that was how she started and she was able to transform over a period of like 8 years to become the most powerful pop musician on the landscape of worldwide music is astonishing, and she should be in history books. And she will be, to be honest. She will probably become our world overlord, and I am ready for that regime. And that's my opening statement on Taylor Swift. Love her to death. I think she's evil and perfect.
If you replaced every time you said Taylor Swift in that rant with Jesus, it's basically a religion you describe.
And that is where I stand.
I give it my money every week. It's more important than my family.
So. Well, I will say, speaking as I'm also 24.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I started playing guitar when I was 13, and then I moved to Nashville when I was 18, and I started writing on Music Row at 20.
Wow.
So I really connected with Taylor Swift. However, she affected me in every step of my life too, but did it in such a negative way that I didn't realize at the time. She has been packaging the patriarchy and selling it as feminism since she was 15 years old. I don't think you have to wait for her to be an overlord, because she's Donald Trump, baby.
Damn.
I was thinking Taylor Swift would be better than Trump, but now I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, is because I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum in that, like, if a Taylor Swift...
Points for saying yuck anyone's yum.
Yeah, no, I give you points for that for sure.
If someone... I don't want to diss anyone for what they sing in the shower, or like, if a Taylor Swift song comes on, girl can write a song. It's just that the way she uses it, it's just such a waste. Like, instead of actually singing empowering lyric, she's singing about like, well, I'm a nightmare, but I'm dressed like a daydream and I can murder you if I want to. It's just someone who puts their career.
I would listen to that song.
It's like someone who puts their career over people, which really bums me out.
Oh, you mean the entire music industry? That's fine. I mean, I think that's really cute of you for sure. I'm just saying that, like, for you to specifically, I mean, you were partially saying versions of lyrics from Blank Space, which I think is a masterstroke in the Taylor Swift discography. Blank Space, if you're not familiar, it was one of the, I think the second single or the third single off of 1989, only the album that sold by far the most. In an economy that no longer sells albums, she smashed the market.
More than Adele?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, probably. I think they came. Probably. I think so. They came out in different years though. Okay. Hers came out in 2014, technically, I believe.
Yeah.
Regardless, Blank Space is the song where after years and years of people shitting on her for talking about ex-boyfriends and for playing with the media, which is so entertaining, and we can go there. At another point, that she let out this song that was literally, I'm a crazy monster who does everything on purpose and changes my mind and manipulates men, and you love it and I love it and I'm going to keep doing it forever. But on the surface, she said that it was a joke, but it's not a joke. It's like 1,000% who she is. So that type of song is the, like, for you to say that that's like the wrong way to use music, it's interesting to me. I would actually like you to elaborate on that, like what you think she could do better with a song like that.
Well, I'm speaking as, and also someone who's worked in the music industry and knows how terrible it is. It's terrible. It's worse than the comedy industry. I left music and ran to comedy.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So for someone to have this much power, I understand in the beginning when I could understand an 18 to 20-year-old girl saying, you know what, I'm going to play this game, I'm going to get in there, and then beat it from the inside. Taylor Swift is someone who got in there, and then I don't know if she just decided money was more important or if they just brainwashed her or a company really bought her. But now she has the power to not manipulate men in order to empower women, just to empower everyone. And she could focus on women without just dragging people through the mud. And I think that's what we really saw when that whole Kanye Taylor Snapchat fiasco came out, Snapchatgate. And I just think at this point she doesn't know where to turn. And that's why she's been so silent, is because she's like, I am too, people are talking about me too much. I don't know what to do next. And it's because it's not, she's not thinking what's the right thing to do. She's thinking, what will make me the most money next? How can I make little girls feel empowered so they'll give me money?
Yes. And I think it's important to come to a point here where I'll say, hands down, Taylor Swift is a bad person. And that's okay with me.
How are you arguing the pro Taylor Swift side?
No, this is the pro Taylor Swift side, because I can't sit here and say that
take
she's
away a point.
I'm not. No. I'm not saying that she's not a bad person. She is a bad person. She's a perfect pop star. She's everything I've ever wanted out of a pop star. She's hilarious. She's insane. She's like crazy. She's a capitalist behemoth. Like, everything about her works within the system, you're right, and she's not dismantling it, but that's not her job. Like, that's not her job at all.
Well, here's the thing about that, is that when you say it's not her job, I mean, especially right now in the political climate, it's everyone's job. And with her being so quiet and someone just blatant misogynist being the president-elect, if she really wanted to empower little girls and stand by her word and not and actually put her money where her mouth was, she would say, hey, this is fucked up. Let's throw a charity event. Let's raise money for Planned Parenthood. Let's do something. I think a perfect pop star doesn't have to be insane in that they want to take all of your money. They just have to be insane. Like, in my mind, like Nicki Minaj or Katy Perry or someone who's just like absolutely nuts, but has so much love for everyone and is all about inclusion and not exclusion.
I mean, I definitely hear you on that. And I mean, throughout her entire career, Taylor Swift has never been political on purpose. She came up through country. You know what happened to the Dixie Chicks. Mm-hmm. And you know what, the blowback, that was devastating for them. And
are you saying Taylor's secretly a Republican? Like, if she...
She definitely grew up Republican. And that's something to be respected. Everyone grows up in different type of political climates. Right. It would be so shocking. And for me, who understands she's an evil queen who is an overlord already, it would be shocking to me if she posted an Instagram where she was at the polls on election day and she said, everybody go vote. Mm-hmm. And in it, she didn't indicate who she was voting for. But she wore like a sweater with cutouts that people thought was like kind of similar to Lena Dunham's cutout sweater that she said was pro Hillary and all this stuff. You could interpret it every which way, mostly toward Hillary, but she didn't say anything. And I think to not come out in this political climate is potentially reprehensible as like a public figure. But at the end of the day, it's way better for business because this is what's happening. And the people that she would alienate for coming out that way that she's been silent on this whole time, it would be completely inconsistent with who she is and what she represents. I think it's important for everyone to be political, for a lot of people to be political, but I also think it's very important for certain things to be escapes and for certain things to stay away from what has truly been a devastating political climate for a long time, but especially now, obviously. But the fact that someone who grew up hugely conservative in Tennessee or Virginia or wherever, and they grew up that way, and they go to Taylor Swift as emotional release or as something that calms them or soothes them. If she comes out strongly political and then it hurts them being able to listen to that, and they may not be bigoted or anything like that, but they've come to associate this person as sort of this pure and simple pop music that is fun and relaxing for them, and it just isolates people. Mm-hmm. So it's fine for Katy Perry to be on the campaign train with Hillary Clinton, but you know, the people who didn't like Hillary Clinton probably felt isolated from that, and that's okay. You can make that choice. It just changes what your market is. And Taylor Swift is all about markets.
So you as a comedian who is female making these cases for Taylor Swift, then, like, how do you feel? Where do you side with Amy Schumer, who's like, fuck people and, like, kicking them out if they're heckling and pro-Trump and doesn't give a shit?
I think being a pop star is very different from being a famous comedian. I think to not take an opinion and to not be bold about that as a comedian is would be silly. It would be crazy to... I mean, it depends on the type of comedy you do, but for most types of comedy, like, I respect Amy Schumer for doing that. I haven't looked specifically into that because the news has been a nightmare lately, but I think that if she was kicking people out for heckling her about Trump or something, then, you know, more power to her.
Well, I just think it's important to recognize that, like, I understand how certain things are, like, the escape of, like, okay, I just need a second to, like, wind down. Mm-hmm. But when you are someone who is a role model, especially, like, I grew up in the South. Did you grow up in the South?
No, I grew up in Illinois, but I could have easily been Paula, the same.
So did I.
Wow.
They're both so happy about that.
As somebody who grew up in the South and was surrounded constantly, there really isn't an escape. And there's no one person telling you anything else than be a Republican, like Jesus, like conservatism, like all this stuff. And it's exhausting, especially when you don't believe in it and you think that that's the only thing that's out there. And it's so awful that having somebody like Taylor Swift, if she said, you know what, guys, let's throw a charity event or let's have a dialogue, like let's just like a tweet about just what's going on at all.
Sure. I mean, she was labeled as one of the most charitable celebrities of 2015 or something.
Well, that's the thing is,
like she's constantly donating.
That's wonderful, but she stops as soon as it could interfere with her business. And I think that we both agree that business comes first for her. I think that's evil, and I think that's not evil in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some, like, oh, like, funny, like... That's, you're so crazy, like, bleh. Yeah. But especially right now, like, I just, to stay silent while you have all of this power is disgusting to me. I can't wrap my mind around it.
And that's fair. And I would say it's totally fine for her to stay silent because at the end of the day, Taylor Swift coming out to denounce Donald Trump, like, if Beyonce can't swing an election... Like, Taylor Swift is not going to swing an election. It's like...
Well, it's not about swinging an election
at this point. No, I know. Yeah. I'm exaggerating. I'm saying that, like to say that it is net evil for the world for her to not say anything political, I think is definitely overblowing what kind of status she's supposed to have. So, to me...
Isn't she, like, one of the richest entertainers in America?
No, I know. And she's a huge face, and she definitely has a lot of pull. But in terms of, like, I think all celebrities having a political opinion is, especially pop stars, especially reality stars, especially these types of people, it's like, oh, that's cute, that's fine. Hopefully more people vote or something. But rarely do I think that that's technically necessary. Like,
it's just a social responsibility. It would be like if you... gained so much traction, like if next year you had a show on Comedy Central.
And right on track.
There you go. And next year you had a show on Comedy Central and Trump started doing these mass deportations and setting up these containment camps. And you said, you know what? This could be bad for business for me to say something. So what's best for me and Comedy Central, or what's best for me and my show, is to keep quiet and just let it blow over. That's not okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's going. And to have power and not say anything, it's just, you can't afford to not have a political opinion right now. And I think there's a million conversations I've had about Taylor Swift being like, oh, I really don't like her. Here are the reasons. But especially right now, it's just really getting my goat. Everyone who has power and is just letting it happen.
Ideologically, politically, I'm on your side. Mm-hmm. And I personally believe that this is an extraordinary time where I think you're right. I think it's pushing everyone to be political who was able to safely say they couldn't be political before. I actually think it is a really interesting time for someone like Taylor Swift, because if you follow her career, so this is, I'm just going to bring it back a little bit from the Edgeron of like social responsibility and what's evil and not.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you follow her career, she has always built in boom and bust cycles of popularity. So basically, she comes into every album being an underdog and being hated or shit on, or people have decided they're over her. And then by the time that she starts releasing a single, the next single, leading up to the album promo season, all the songs are fire, and people can't deny her, and she rides the wave up, and she rides that for as long as possible to sell as many albums, and then once she becomes overexposed, she goes back into hiding, or she does something that pisses people off. I don't think she intended the Kanye West Kim Kardashian feud. That was a huge fuck up, and it was hilarious and amazing time for me to experience because I love her, and it was like, oh, she's way worse than I ever... I thought she was bad, and she was way worse than I thought she was. But it was like... It was kind of a stunning time because it was like, okay, you have fully plummeted to the depths of pop culture respect. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can mark July 2016 as the lowest point in Taylor Swift's public approval mm-hmm. rating, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And she's kept a low head, as you said, and she stayed out because no one likes her right now. And she was supposed to release an album. If you followed her career, she was supposed to release an album this fall, and she didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think it's specifically because of this election, because of the brouhaha over the summer. And what's interesting is that I do think that I would not be shocked if she makes her first political statement in this environment. And I hope she does. I hope that she would. And I would also understand if she never does. I just think that that's something that is incredibly consistent for her. But I think this political climate would push her to, if anything. That's my bet. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she's required to.
I think we just have a different opinion in that, like, if you have power, you're required to help people.
Yeah, and I think she helps a lot of people.
You help people in a way that there will be powerful change. To fill your potential to other people.
Sure.
Like, empowering people
by saying,
like...
Celebrities have gone to Congress. They've spoken in front of the House, the Senate. They've done all these things. And it has the same kind of swing that any public liberal does. Most of our entertainment figures are liberal. Most of the loudest ones and the most visible ones are mostly Democrats, very liberal, very pro-progressive causes, you know, to varying degrees of success. And, you know.
Well, how powerful would it be to someone like you and those millions of little girls who idolize her and that's their Jesus, if her first mm-hmm. political statement was, hey, everyone, we need to wake up. We need to do something.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It would be cool.
But let's go back to when you said,
I just don't think she has to.
Fair.
I think there is some merit in that. Like, you don't have to, but it's a weird time not to. Like, it seems like if nothing else, Taylor Swift would jump on it for the business aspect of it. Like, look, I'm helping now.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, people would accuse her of both. So yeah. They would accuse her of doing it for business to abstain, and they would accuse her of doing it for business to come out pro-Hillary or in this post-Hillary world now, I guess, it would be just be coming out against Trump.
Yeah.
You know, it would be considered trendy at this point, and I think that either way she's going to get insane flack.
If I was Taylor Swift's manager...
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yes.
This is what I would do. I would have held off on that album until the election. Because no matter what the outcome, the country is going to be split. And what I do right about now, maybe another week, let people get through Thanksgiving, have awful family fights, and really come out of it feeling shitty about this country, I would release a single and cover Lee Greenwood's Proud to Be an American and rake that fucking dough in.
Oh, Jesus. That cash.
Yes.
I do want to go back.
The B-side would be Fastball's the Way. But that's just...
That's what I thought you were going to say, Fastball. I want to go back to a curveball. I want to go back to what you said about Taylor Swift empowering people. How do you think that she empowers people?
I mean, I think I know where you're going with this, and I think what you're about to say is probably pretty legitimate, but I will say that for me, like, I'll start personally. For mm-hmm. me, hearing someone put the pen to paper and perfectly capture what... feminine emotions that I'd been constantly embarrassed by mm-hmm. and felt were stupid and felt were childish and felt were uncool for a very long time, you know, to hear someone else put that, put a pen to paper, do it perfectly, and not only perfectly, but put it in the most digestible pop song format so that I can scream along to it in my car, was a defining factor in being comfortable with my own emotions and the way that I experience and feel life very strongly, very passionately, very emotionally. And like little things like having a, you know, short 2-month fling with someone and writing 3 songs about them and people.
Why did they make
the smoke detector went off and now they're singing that shitty version?
That's my Camilla. I don't know.
No.
The fucked up backwards Camilla version and far away from the mic because it makes me angry.
I don't know what the new version is. I've never heard the new version.
She's
you want me to continue doing my Camilla Cabello impression?
For some reason, my vaporizer set off my smoke
alarm
while
it.
We
the
were recording.
Yeah, that smoke, that's some
it's
bullshit.
It's like Britney, but yeah. More of a child.
Do it.
Anyways, anyone listening at work right now with earbuds just had their fucking...
Yeah, and now we've lost all control.
Okay, wait.
Sorry.
You were talking about...
To get us back on track.
You were talking about how it made you... Taylor Swift songs made you feel validated.
Yeah. So that's a personal relationship I had with the type of music she made. And I don't think I was invested in her as a person until later on. Like, it was just her music that I connected to very strongly with. But I'll say that when she came out with Dear John about John Mayer, which is a controversial song where she names him by name and proceeds to torch him throughout the entire song. And people gave her a lot of flack for this, but that song taught me the foundation of manipulative men and basically gaslighting and being stuck in a emotionally abusive relationship. Like, that song eviscerates him in a way that I think is important. And I could
which
go
guy
to
does it eviscerate again?
John Mayer, noted asshole.
I mean, if you look
and
at
misogynist.
My notes, if you look at the bottom of my
noted
notes,
asshole.
She ruined John Mayer.
Yeah.
That was my question. Why did she ruin him?
He is gone, and it is partially because of Taylor Swift, for sure.
I don't think that's why he's gone.
Follow the dates. When that song
I don't
came
think
out,
that's it at all.
He's also a disaster.
He had some racist comments in an article, and that's kind of what
did help,
him
though. It didn't help, though.
I'm sure nothing. He's a piece of shit.
If I was a manager, on that. I would put out the Glee Greenwood cover, followed by a duo of John Mayer and Taylor Swift singing She's Gone.
I'll be shining like fireworks over your sad empty town is the the building verse at the end, and it's the most powerful.
That was
thing.
A fuck you to the Katy Perry thing, right?
That was I actually came before
that was,
fireworks.
Yeah, that was a different
tried
song.
To put it
come
together.
On,
no,
come
I know
on.
It's a different song, but I thought maybe she was referencing the song "Firework"
Jesus
because
Christ.
Of the thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Why
to
are you trying? Why
world.
Are you doing this, Chad?
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Come on.
So I will say. I think that is so great to like have a personal connection with art like that. Like, because when you are young, you feel like all these people are telling you like your feelings are bad or like you're not allowed to feel them. And in this, like she did for you what Sylvia Plath did for me. And that's so sacred. And you need that.
Thank
However,
you so much. Please shit on my sacred stone.
Those are, that is a comparison I never thought I would hear.
The message
very
is
similar
that she had in her songs that were kind of overlooked were the ones that stuck out to me that I was like, this is fucked up. The You Belong With Me song, that's fucked up. That's not okay. You can't belong to anyone. That was a wrong thing to tell a million teenagers. Mm. That's how abusive relationships start. Secondly, Picture to Burn.
That's a step too far.
Secondly, Picture to Burn. There's a line in there who's like, you can tell all your friends something about me. I'll just tell them you're gay.
For sure. Not great.
Not great. It was just all these little things kept building up and it made me feel terrible because all of these songs that are so catchy and there were songs that I listened to as a teenager that like her early work.
Yeah.
Her earlier stuff that I was
vintage
like.
Vintage Tay.
I was like, oh yeah, the teardrops on my guitar. Yeah.
But and that is how you sounded.
That is how I sounded. I just this, my voice changed today. But I just don't want young people looking at it and thinking it's okay, especially right now. I hate to bring it back to right now. I'm going to stay back there.
But it's just, it's so hard to, that argument gets made all the time with pop music, mm-hmm. that you're a role model. These songs are being listened to by young ears. And so you have to promote good images and messages in your music. And it's, we just can't have it both ways. Like we can't have unrestrained capitalism and celebrities who are perfect role models for our children. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And I think women get held up to that standard 1,000 times more than any of our male celebrities all the time. Like, One Direction, which is a band I also love and will go to the bat for, they could not have been asked less of as celebrities, as public figures. Although Niall did tweet that he hoped people would vote for Hillary Clinton. So that was nice. What I'm saying is that all of the controversies that female pop stars get caught up in, and specifically Taylor Swift in terms of, you know, either not being political or wearing a certain thing or having certain dance moves on tour, of posting certain things on social media, of saying certain words in their songs, they had none of. And that's true for most male pop stars. And women get held to that standard all the time. And so the you're a role model argument is definitely something that comes at a star like Taylor Swift. And I get partially she's branded herself that way. You know, her songs have never had curses. And she's always had a surface level, very shiny, clean outlook. Mm-hmm. But that argument gets used all the time for people like Miley Cyrus, for people like Nicki Minaj, for all these people who say, oh, if my child listened to that, it would be a detriment to them. And to that I say, let music and art be art, and let people figure it out for themselves. I think if you are relying on Taylor Swift to teach women all the intricacies of feminism, there is so many more failures on the path to that before you get to Taylor Swift.
I totally agree.
Such as education, such as your family, such as the people in your life, such as the way that you utilize the resources that we have available to us. Mm-hmm. Anyone can pick up a bell hooks book from a library, and they should. Everyone should read bell hooks, mm-hmm. In addition to other authors. And I'm just saying, like, we cannot rest our educational and role model laurels on pop stars, and we should. I mean, I would love for them all to act right and be the most progressive and powerful and changing figures, but that's not what we get, and the system doesn't make it that way. Mm-hmm. And you know, she never went to college, dog. Like, she's definitely figuring out what anything is, and business has always been first. I do think she's on the path. I mean, she's used feminism in a manipulative way. I'm not sure if you're going to bring that up, but that's true. That definitely has happened. But I have no doubt that in her heart, she believed she was doing the right thing, and it was what she believed. Because I've been there. I'm a white girl who grew up in a comfortable family, and I went to a women's college, and the whole process was like, oh, yeah, this is what feminism is. Oh, no, this is what feminism is. Oh, this is mm-hmm. truly what intersectional feminism is. And it mm-hmm. took so many levels of reading and learning and being told and listening that someone who's constantly on tour doesn't really get all the intricacies of. And that doesn't excuse it necessarily, but I'm just saying that she can't be our primary role model for feminism, or else we're really fucked.
Right. I don't think that she's a role model for feminism
at all.
No,
I know. I know you don't, but you want her to be.
I also think that I totally agree with you that women are held to a higher standing than men are. Like, their expectations are crazy, morally, especially yeah. in entertainment. However, and I don't want to excuse, like, in the same vein, Katy Perry had a song, You're So Gay.
Yeah.
But she's come out and said something about it.
Kissed a girl, not great.
She also kissed a girl and liked it. I think it's just what I'm frustrated with is having a dialogue about it and being like, hey, maybe that wasn't great. I am learning. I'm growing. Grow with me. I think it's just the way that Taylor Swift sets up her things and has set up her career is, I'm so shiny. I'm so perfect. Look at me. I can manipulate. I'm in control. I am in charge. I've done nothing wrong. It's me.
That's a perfect Taylor Swift impression. Can I just say?
It's important. It's just important to go back and say, hey, I've grown since I was 15. I'm not this person still. And I was wrong to say this. She strikes me as someone who was actually. She has?
Yeah.
That's
great.
She has
specifically pointed out You Belong With Me as slut shaming. She has specifically pointed out Better Than Revenge as slut shaming.
I love
She's
that.
She specifically pointed out Picture to Burn as not okay.
LGBTQ-wise. I love it. I love it.
And I think those are genuine. You could definitely argue that they're not, that it became popular to sort of say like, oh, I was very, but she said in interviews, I was 15 when I wrote You Belong With Me. I was 17 when I wrote, you know, Better Than Revenge, which is the kind of amazing song about Camille Bell.
Yeah.
Who started dating Joe Jonas after her. And it is really brutal.
It's like you're something about a mattress.
Yeah. You're better on a mattress, something like that. It's savage.
It rhymed actress with mattress.
Yeah.
I think
so. You get it. It is very savage, and I still bump that song because it is.
But that's the danger of it. This is the danger of it. It's normalizing these awful. It's normalizing pitting women against each other while at the same time saying, "Don't you dare come at me if you're a woman, because I'm a woman. You should support me." And it's like you have to practice what you preach. Otherwise, what you say is bullshit.
Well, I mean, this really does come down to the fun conversation of, are we allowed to support art or artists that don't fully align with our viewpoints? And I just have to say yes. Like, maybe this isn't true for you, but maybe you guys have bumped R. Kelly at karaoke because it's the perfect karaoke song.
I Believe I Can Fly.
I Believe I Can Fly as well.
Oh, if you sing that at karaoke, you're a monster.
That's my go-to.
Remix
to
Ignition is really
what are you trying to do? Put everyone to sleep?
That's my go-to. No, people bust out lighters, bust out their cell phones. People fucking love it, man.
Okay,
Remix
whatever.
To Ignition, you know, like...
I get bumping it out at karaoke. However, like Taylor Swift is my Jesus and knowing these things about it, you know I have to say something.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm saying when everything that's negative has come out about Taylor Swift, I did have to have a moment where I said, oh, can I really like this person? And is this okay with me? Because we share a lot of the same values and the same views. Mm-hmm. And I came out on, yes, absolutely. We get to have art and artists who are fucked up because that's how the world has worked. And I wish it wasn't that way. But there's been so many male artists who have thrived and still have their work passed around and lauded as the highest art there is because a lot of it is really, really good. And
well, it's the same. It's in the same vein as like, am I going to boycott this company because they're supporting anti-Semitism? Yeah, it's easy to go there and buy your groceries because that's the only store in town. But it's worth it to boycott it, in my opinion. I know I don't share this opinion with a lot of people because they do defend artists for their art. But
it's just going to become a very empty market for you.
Well, no, it and hasn't. It really hasn't because there's so many people who deserve this attention and who deserve our ears and our time. And they're not getting it because there's no room for it. Because people like Taylor Swift, people like all these big empires can pay for these advertisements. So real music and real art that we should be seeing by people who have gone through it and are fucking in it and like suffering and have created, come out on the other side and created amazing things.
Sure.
We'll never see. And that's really what gets me is because Taylor Swift, her plight is generic in that it's supposed to be generic. You're supposed to feel like she's your Jesus. You're supposed to feel like she's talking directly to you and she does a great job of it. But that's not what art is. That's what commercialism is. To have a generic thing reach out to a million girls who are going through puberty and say, you know what? No one's talking about this. So I'll talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it this way. So maybe think this way. Is like, it's weird and it's creepy. And I would so much rather have all of those kids experiencing life and growing, find their own little pockets. I would rather have them find an indie artist or a band or
find
a book.
So you don't want mainstream pop acts at all to exist?
You know, I think that it's great. It's a great form of escape and everything, but so many people rely on it for their bread and butter because it's fed to them so much that they miss out on life.
I'd say kids today get an iPhone when they're 7 years old. They can find the music blogs that will bring them to artists.
But and how Taylor many ads are going to pop up for Taylor Swift?
But
that's fine. They have to learn to cut through.
If I can interject one thing. As far as mainstream pop artists, there's only like eight. Like, that used to be a thing. Like, you would, like, almost like everyone on the radio was someone who had a sustained career. But now there's not that many. Like, you'll have like one hit wonder types. Like, we're never going to fucking hear from Fifth Harmony
again. Say another band. I was about to
No, you know we're not. You know we're not. They hate each other.
Fifth
they're going to break
back
up.
On the radio. They're back on the radio.
They're back on the radio. They've got so many singles.
It doesn't matter.
They're like a six hit wonder. And that's
they
pretty
are
good.
A six hit wonder.
That's pretty good.
Okay. But Taylor Swift.
Never heard of her.
Taylor Swift does strike me as kind of the one who doesn't really do anything even remotely political. Like, even Katy Perry does some political type stuff. What? Beyonce is like a fucking militant these days. And Taylor Swift does kind of seem like the one who doesn't. And that is weird to me,
given
the platform she has.
2 points back to earlier what people said about it, if Taylor Swift said something or say it doesn't matter, like these celebrities don't swing the vote. Mm-hmm. I would actually argue that Hillary adding Beyonce and Jay-Z at the end might have swung the vote the other way.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of white racist assholes are like, yeah, but Trump's too much of a dick. Like, we got to go Hillary. And then she's like, oh, famous black people want to take over the world. And like, fuck that. Back to Trump, you know? And also, just looking at Taylor Swift's Instagram, that picture she posted, she has over 90 million followers. She posted that picture, today's the day, go out and vote. And she's like voting in somebody's backyard. It's fucked up.
I think she's voting in Rhode Island.
And
Where she's from?
One of her many mansions.
It has 2.3 million likes and 43,000 comments. How can you tell me that person, especially in like a small state like Rhode Island, she couldn't swing the vote?
Yeah.
Because she couldn't. The vote swings on if like Taylor abortion Swift said, and guns.
If Taylor Swift said, I'm not taxes. Going to release my new album, I'll only release a new album if Hillary wins. young people would get the fuck out.
No, half of her demo aren't old enough to vote.
Give yourself 10 points. You can have all my points.
Strong disagree. I mean, it would be cool. I'd love to live to see that happen, but I disagree.
Well, I'm not even talking about like the elect. Like, I think that would be a nice thing for her to say, like, I'm pro Hillary before the election happened.
Totally.
I think what I'm saying right now is you have how many mansions?
I think four.
You have four mansions and more money than probably
most people
in the fucking world.
Yeah, she's
donate to Rain. Donate to Care.
She does.
Donate to Planned Parenthood.
She doesn't donate to Planned Parenthood, but she definitely. I mean,
that'd be
a
political statement.
Why doesn't
she
donate to Planned Parenthood?
It'd be a political statement, right?
It's a political statement. Oh. Yeah, it's become so politicized. So and that's not Taylor Swift's fault.
No, it's not.
I want to throw something out for people to make a point for or against that hasn't been brought up that I think is pretty relevant to this whole thing that I think I've brought up on past episodes. This is my opinion. I'm not trying to take a side yet, but didn't Taylor Swift's fame come from her dad having a shitload of money? And when her debut album came out, didn't he buy like a million copies? So she went right to the top of the charts and then he like resold them to distributors. But the way he did it, like gave her a huge spike. I'm 90% sure that's close to accurate.
I don't know the actual story, but I know she comes from a lot of money in Pennsylvania.
Like her dad bought a shitload of her
albums. That is actually a myth. Yeah, we can look it up. Google. I'm pretty sure that's out there.
I'm going to take the Snopes.
Yeah, if you can.
And that's a myth.
I'm just saying that.
Keep talking.
I mean, absolutely did she benefit from growing up in a wealthy family where she was able to move from Pennsylvania to Nashville to pursue music? Totally.
Well, that's the thing. In Nashville, if you have a shit ton of money, you can be successful. You could be a successful artist tomorrow. Like, if you have money... I could tell you.
You could get your start, but you couldn't be at the top of the music industry for 8 years.
Yeah, you could because you can hire.
No.
Yeah,
everyone wants to do that. Why wouldn't anyone do that?
Because people don't have that money. I wanted to do that when I was 18. That was my dream to go be a songwriter.
Oh.
And I went. I know this. I know that town so well. I know Music Row so well, and if you have money or if you have a backer and you can hire, you have producers at your disposal,
girl.
You have co-writers at your disposal. I know she writes her songs, she co-writes them. And when you co-write, I know this, baby girl. And when you co-write, it doesn't go on as just lyrics, just music, or I just did this, I just did this. You have no idea how much of that song she wrote and how much she didn't. And I know she's been doing this for a long time. So of course, I'm sure she's a great songwriter now. But in the beginning, no one's a great songwriter when they're 14, 15. They had the best people working with her because they could afford it. And I know that your whole thing is like, yeah, she's a great capitalist. That's capitalism where it shouldn't be working. Like, give other people a shot. Give people who are more talented a shot.
Okay, I have also come from, I spent about a year of my life this past year working for a youth YouTube channel where there are tons of rich, rich little babies who have bought a million Instagram followers, who have producers and writers.
Los Angeles is in Nashville. Nashville's a small town, or it was before Taylor Swift turned it into an LA.
I just think that there's plenty of rich babies who could do what you're saying and have that happen, and they just do not have the star power to make it work because they are disasters.
Well, you can have the... I'm saying that, like...
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Any 14-year-old kid...
There are thousands of them.
You can foster that. Like, you can buy these people, buy these people's works to make... To be like, hey, this... How about you hang out with her? How about you go... Money is always power. So if somebody knows that you could...
disagree with that.
So if somebody knows that, like, oh, this family has a ton of money, maybe they'll back me. And they're like, hey, like, come write with my kid. Or like, hey, like, come hang out because, like, we think you're really cool. They're going to be like, yeah, my next step. But if there's, like, something in the back of your head...
To be fair, I would say that Taylor Swift's dad didn't even move to Nashville with him. He stayed in Pennsylvania. Yeah. And
he was the money guy. He was the backer.
I would say that might have, like, if that's true, I think I would label that as a conspiracy theory about Taylor Swift's songwriting and the way that her initial songs come out. Because, I mean, her having written all her songs is probably one of the main tenets that makes me love her. So so if you really want to stick to your guns, that you think that she's not actually the true voice behind those songs, that's a really strong argument to make, and I couldn't disagree more. And you've seen more, and maybe that's true, but I just think that runs out really fast.
Well, that's the thing,
the money doesn't run out really fast, but if she wasn't a talented songwriter, and that she got whatever bump, she got whatever benefits from being a wealthy young girl, she has the chops. Everyone who meets her, everyone who hates her and listens to a certain album or a certain song or sees her live or sees her perform All Too Well at the Grammys, which was stunning. I would say that, like, any argument that she didn't have the chops or didn't have the talent or doesn't write her own songs is incomprehensible to me. Like, it just...
Well, that's the thing.
It just doesn't add up.
I think she is very talented, and I think she learned the formula. There are a million songwriting formulas, but she learned the one that works for her, and it's in every single one of her songs. She uses all these open chords. Her songs aren't hard to play. They're not hard to write musically. They're hard to write lyrically because everything sounds so simple. So when she was a kid, I bet she had a great co-writer who taught her amazing tips and gave her advice and just counseled her. And now she has that. And that's so great. But I think it's important not to romanticize
lyrically?
This. Yeah.
So
hold on. I think it's important not to romanticize her as being this child prodigy when, if you have that money, you're not a child prodigy. You've grown, and now you're a great lyricist.
She definitely worked her ass off.
She definitely worked her ass off, and I respect that. But I can't respect how she made it up there, especially knowing so many people in Nashville who deserve it so much more.
I mean, I guess it comes down to, there's the theory, like, there's no such thing as ethics in, like, capitalism. I mean, that's like a meme or whatever. The concept is fair, though. It's like, this is how it works, and within the system, this is who we get to have. And until the whole system crumbles, we won't be able to fault anyone for getting theirs.
Well, do you want to follow the system, or do you want to change it?
Oh, girlfriend, I would love to change the system. I think we're moving in that direction.
Do you
or
think that
we're
she
falling
could change
into
it?
No.
You don't think
she
the
changed
richest
Apple Music, and that was kind of
nice. You're on the ropes right
if
now.
If you can change Apple Music, That is such a big fucking player in capitalism. You can change capitalism. Yeah. I have no fucking doubt in my mind. If she said something tomorrow...
You think she could implement socialism in the United States of America?
I don't think she could implement socialism in the United States of America.
Well, then where do we go?
I think she could gear us towards something positive. That's all I want from her.
Yeah, that is a good point. Just by withholding her music, like, she kind of changed digital music. So she's obviously got a lot of power.
And I think that's the realm of power that she's most appropriate to be utilizing it in. She did it. It was positive. And people still gave her endless amounts of
shit. Who do you think is more powerful, Donald Trump or Taylor Swift?
Donald Trump.
Why do you think that?
Because Donald Trump galvanized half the Electoral College into making him president of the United States and the leader of the free world. And he did it through utilizing hate speech and utilizing all of these pockets of society who are so angry and so fucked, and he's just more powerful.
Do you see any similarities to Donald Trump and Taylor Swift?
No.
Oh, man.
Okay, no. I do. Because I see someone who has so much power, and they're using it all for themselves. Everything that Taylor Swift does is for her money and for her business. If she cared about people and she cared about those little girls she's singing to, she would make a statement and create positive change. And what really gets me is women who say they love women and just don't, and capitalize on feminism for that. And it's mind-boggling to think that there is an old reality star in office, and she is a powerful current pop star who people are still chasing around and following while she has her head down. I don't know what their net worths are. I'm sure Donald Trump has more because he's old money.
Well, he won't release his tax returns, so
right.
I just won't know.
But
I feel like she probably has more money than him.
He still won't release his tax returns. I forgot about that.
I know.
So upsetting.
But I really do think that Taylor Swift in America has more influence than Donald Trump. I think
she has more influence amongst young women than Donald Trump.
I think she has the money to back it up and make it more than young women.
No, because no one gives a shit what like the amount of people.
Do you think people gave a shit what Donald Trump thought?
The people who are following her around are following her around because she's a moneymaker. So the people who are following her around want to publish her picture so that.
Why do people follow Donald Trump around though?
No. This is what I'm saying is that half the like. Definitely more than half the country fucking hates Taylor Swift. Mm. And so if Taylor Swift had come out in support of Hillary, it's very possible that it would have had an adverse effect, especially with how many people hate her right now. Like, she's hated and loved in a fluctuating and undulating manner.
She's the John Cena of music.
That, like, whatever she promotes...
John Cena sucks.
Whatever she promotes or denounces will absolutely turn with the very toxic waters of whether or not people like or dislike Taylor Swift right now. So for you to say that she's Donald Trump is so absurd and really inaccurate, and definitely explodes her to a level of, to compare her to someone like that when she has never, she's a fucking celebrity who has never tried to change the lives of our most vulnerable people in the country.
You're
making very good points for Lauren right now.
I'm talking about pre-election Donald Trump. I'm talking about the Donald Trump people knew from The Retired Apprentice. No one cared about. Who cares? It's fucking Donald Trump. He's going to die soon. He's an old man. Fuck him. Do you think before the election, Donald Trump was more powerful than Taylor Swift?
In what way? I just think that's a silly question.
In America, do you think who had more influence?
I mean, like, I think the question is silly. Like, I understand why you're bringing it up.
Here's why
I think
I'm
the question is silly.
This is why I'm asking it, is because if Donald Trump was able to become president-elect, being a nobody, kind of a nobody, just an old celebrity, how much change could Taylor Swift implement if she just put her mind to it, just did something not for herself and did something for the people she says she cares about?
No, I think the Donald Trump comparison is exactly why that shouldn't fucking happen. I don't think our celebrities should be deciding what kind of policy we have.
Oh, no,
America.
I'm not saying she should run for president.
I know you're not, but it's along the same lines of so that's what he's done to the negative effect. You're saying that she could have not to that level, a positive effect. And it could be really, really tangible.
Yes.
And I'm saying, sure, that's potentially possible, but I don't think that she as a celebrity, just like Donald Trump as a celebrity, has any fucking business telling us what we should do, what we should or shouldn't do. And so we could, you could say she should promote my progressive ideals. Mm-hmm. And someone who, you know, the people who voted for Donald Trump, who are seeing their jobs go and all these reasons why they voted for him and are scared of this and that. Like if she had said something for them, it's so fucking fucked. And, right. and she just doesn't have any business telling people what to do in that.
I'm
way.
Asking her. I'm not asking her to tell anyone what to do. I'm not asking her to share my ideals or share my opposer's ideals. I want her to come out and give her ideals. I don't think she has said a word off book for so long, with the exception of that Snapchat thing. And I think that's why people were so aggravated by that, because that was the most real we saw her. And she was terrible in that moment. And I'm not saying she's always like that. I'm sure she has the capacity to be a lovely person, just like everybody. Mm-hmm. But she has to, you have to stand for something. You have to, or you'll fall for anything. My grandma's saying.
You have a lot of good sayings. That's up there with yuck any of
yuck. Don't yuck. Don't yuck anybody's yum.
Yuck anyone's yum. That is cute. That does sound Southern.
It's actually a girl I work with from Texas, Rachel Evans. She says it. She's great. She's on a wrestling podcast.
Nice.
And y'all said John Cena. I thought maybe.
I jacket.
Chet's a wrestling.
I won the last debate I was on. I argued WWE over UFC.
I will say Taylor Swift does have a positive impact in the realms that is appropriate for her to have a positive impact. And if she comes out politically and decides that that's what she's comfortable with doing, she already has like violent stalkers who come to her properties to try to find her. Like, she already has incited the ire of millions. And so in this day and age, I think it's okay for a public woman to not want to incite hatred against herself for a political idea. I think if they want to decide to abstain from that because it is so violently responded to, if you are speaking and it has a huge opposition like the alt-right and the movement with Donald Trump, I think everyone has a right to not put themselves in that fire, even if she's a public figure, because she's a fucking pop star and she's allowed to save herself from that.
I think I totally agree with you that she does not deserve that. No one deserves that. Everybody has the right to their privacy. But as soon as you become a public figure, you're public. You're public. Yeah. That's so the price you pay.
So she publicly presents what she's comfortable presenting. And I respect that.
I think that it's great to respect people's boundaries and privacy. I also think it's reprehensible to stay quiet right now. I think that's where I lose total respect for you. It's not that I don't respect her privacy. It's that I don't respect her as a person.
No, that's fine. I mean... She's not a perfect person. She's not close to a perfect person. And for her to not speak out right now absolutely makes sense to me.
Business sense.
Business, personal, in terms of how you believe your voice should affect people. Like, I don't think she, I just think she's.
So she wants to affect people, but only when she can make money off of it.
I think only when it really aligns with what she believes in the world. And I don't think she has an informed political opinion.
Adam, the longer you let this go on, the longer it's becoming lopsided for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Should we?
Whatever you want to do, I just want you to know it was close for a long time, and now it's just...
We're over an hour, lopsided. So we're getting close to... Do you both want to do like a closing statement of any kind?
The points are within reach that one of the people here could make a strong, compelling... swing argument, but it's got to knock it out of the park.
Well, it's me, definitely. So I'll let you start.
I think, again, I do not want to yuck your yum. I think you are great.
It's over. That's it. No, keep going.
I think you are great. And anyone who says they've never sang along to Shake It Off in their car is lying. I think she is a great lyricist. I think she has the capacity to do great things in the world. I just really, really want and hope that she does and she fulfills that potential. Because I know it's in her. I know it is. It's in all of us. It's in everybody.
Okay. I will say that Taylor Swift, as a pop culture icon and as someone who has a powerful voice in the world, is a celebrity who does exactly what we want her to do. And by we, I mean like people as fans and people who hate her. She does everything that anyone can talk about, and it keeps her being talked about all the time. And so I also hope at one point she'll have a political opinion, and the fact that she hasn't now is fine with me, because she has perfected the art of being hated and loved to the degree that anyone will want to study her as the ideal celebrity forever. She is the most entertaining and interesting female pop star. Like, she's a Shakespeare character. She's like a Lady Macbeth. She's like a Cleopatra. She's like an evil and fascinating and empowering and imperfect and bizarre character who fucks up all the time. And in that, you learn stuff about yourself. When I was learning about feminism, Taylor Swift was one of the people who I learned to relearn about. And I still loved her music, and I still connected with her music. And she's someone who makes you think and have weird, bizarre arguments about all the time. And I think her name, even when she mentions feminism in a flawed way, even when she abstains from political conduct, that Instagram post had so many likes, had so many comments, and it had so many people just talking about voting in the election. And hopefully she has a redemptive arc where she becomes a good Shakespeare character, but right now she's just a perfect Shakespeare character. And I'll love her till the day I die.
All right. This was fascinating.
It was uncomfortable because I'm being asked to either love a woman or hate a woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Or love to hate a woman.
Adam, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
If I was describing someone as a person that does what's best for themselves and always does what's best for business first, someone who their own people say is the worst, somebody who the supporters acknowledge they do bad things, things that we don't agree with, but we're going to blindly support anyway. Somebody that does, like, quote, anything they can to keep people talking about them no matter what, who perfected the art of being hated or loved. I tried to write down the quotes as accurate as possible. If I asked you the question, who am I describing? Taylor Swift or Donald Trump? Is there a wrong answer there?
No.
A lot of the points you made, which were supportive of her as a Taylor supporter, are just like a Trump supporter trying to convince you of Trump. So I believe that you believe she is great, but the ways and methodologies in which she stays on top is alarming and concerning to me. And given the state of the nation, I cannot support anybody that practices those dangerous methods.
All right, so are you declaring a winner?
Yeah, obviously.
Yes, but I did not think this was going to be a political... Like, I thought this was going to be a completely different conversation about, like, the song structure and, like, what else is up. I really didn't think... I was joking before. I'm like, oh, you two are going to go at each other. I'm like, they're not going to... It got ugly and uncomfortable, but unfortunately, I have to give the victory to Lauren.
Thank you so much.
I don't know why he had to whisper it.
Yeah.
I don't know
if people even heard, but Lauren wins.
Do you think I'm going to slit your throat in a back alley because I'm an evil Taylor Swift fan?
Oh.
I don't trust anybody on that side. I'm afraid
will say,
for my
though,
life.
She is like...
I'm wearing a... Is there like a safety pin I can wear to let people know I'm cool with Taylor?
Taylor Swift to you is Brett Michaels to me.
Hold on. Revote. What? Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels, Rock of Love, season one, season two, Rock of Love tour bus.
Is this what
three?
I sound like when I talk about fastball?
And this
kinda.
Is the, this is actually the amazing point, because we all have our Taylor Swift and we all have
we
our
do.
Donald Trumps.
But only one Taylor Swift. Because
he's all of ours now. Oh, he's shit. Our president.
Only one Taylor Swift or Donald Trump's going to be playing in my living room. and their name is Fastball.
Fastball is your everything.
Yeah.
Fastball.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
The fact that Taylor Swift hasn't run for president should just be cool with that.
The yeah. score was I was keeping points. It was 24-19, though I did take 2 points off for you calling your own person a monster and saying they aren't coming like that.
It's the coolest shit ever.
No, not really.
It's cool. Like
it's exactly what Trump. People are like, yeah, he's a monster, and it's great. Throw a grenade into the fucking government.
I'm sorry. It's just not.
I'm sorry. We can have a separate podcast where I debate the merits of my scoring here. It alarms me. Perhaps I'm easily triggered with the state of this country. But
yeah,
it,
I mean, I definitely think the timing of this podcast is
I went to therapy before this podcast.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I wish I went to therapy
after the podcast.
Like I will definitely, I want her to say something. I mean, I definitely agree with that. It's just like, this is the times that we're living in, and I had to argue for this person. And I, the emotional connection I have with her is just like, I would love for her to step up.
Yeah, what Taylor Swift needs to do, is she in 5 years, when all the people that grew up on her, a majority of them have kids, she needs to put out a fucking kids album. And
she will
rake in so much money, brainwash a whole new generation, plus all the parents that grew up on her are going to love that shit because they're going to force it down their kids' throat, man.
Brainwash in what way? Other than being like, it's okay to get your heart broken.
When you're talking about like people getting iPhones at 7 and stuff, like it does, like, ages 3 to 5, 3 to 6, like, those are formative years where you're getting the foundational aid in your emotional wiring for, like, what is healthy love, what is healthy, caring and intimacy. And that's where people get brainwashed and why people get so disappointed in relationships. They have these unrealistic expectations of, like, yeah, it's like, if I get my crush, like, you do belong to me and you can't, it's real fucked up. It's real fucked up. Yeah. We're all fucked up because of it.
Yeah.
Just only because of Taylor Swift. She's the only thing that ever happened to this guy. I'm so mad about it.
Taylor Swift did it.
I would argue if you went to an SLAA meeting and you polled all the female love addicts in a SLAA meeting.
Yeah.
SLAA meeting?
Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. You're not supposed to say it. Shit.
You're not?
Not just like it. You're not supposed to advertise. But they don't like publicity, anything tied to it. So I'm going to tie country music's Donald Trump to it. I would bet that a much larger percentage of love addicts, not necessarily sex addicts, but love addicts who have these unhealthy... miswirings of what intimacy is and mistaking intensity for intimacy and like living in fantasy and always trying to put like their perfect picture of the person, like forcing it on them rather than like seeing the person for who they are. I bet a lot of them grew up on Taylor Swift or Taylor Swift like music because that does influence you.
Yeah, for sure.
Or every movie.
Yeah,
serious at the end, huh?
Yeah, we did. We got super serious.
I would just like to say 1989 is a perfect album and everyone should buy it.
Yeah, I like the Ryan.
She has her fans doing her bidding. I am screaming.
I literally did it for you.
I like the Ryan Adams version better.
Yeah, the Ryan Adams version was actually... Oh, man.
Does she have a Christmas album?
But we were agreed that it was good music.
Could you imagine?
Did you not like the
Ryan
Adams version? I
really need to be Taylor Swift's manager.
You need to be.
There are so many fucking ways to exploit this shit.
Absolutely. All right. So we should get out of here.
Yeah.
We're pushing an hour 20.
I thought you were both lovely. I thought you both made very strong points.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was fantastic.
You were impassioned for your side. And I wouldn't want to have to debate either one of you.
Yeah. It was really good. Do either of you have anything to plug?
I run a weekly show in Covina.
God damn it.
Covina.
Now I'm not going to get booked. Fuck this.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's called The Chatterbox. It's every Sunday at 9 p.m. It's free. It's at this dirty dive bar. It's the best time. We pack it out.
Is that Steve Fernandez with you?
Yeah.
I love that.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
I do a cartoon called Tiffany the Teenage Grim Reaper on a channel called Snarled on YouTube. And we just finished our second season. But third season is coming out next year.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I'm not going to plug the show I write for because it's very G-rated.
Oh, okay. Chet, anything to plug?
At Chet Wild, at Fastball the Band. Hashtag Fastball at Chet. This will come out on day 33. And next week, I'm driving down the PCH for 4 or 5 days. And because of those likes, I will be putting out a different Fastball video every day of me singing a fastball song on
the ocean. Can't wait.
We cannot wait.
What about a Taylor Swift cover?
Maybe.
Mashup with fastball.
You guys both should do it.
We're best friends.
Would rather. I mean, if I'm doing a spot in Covina, I am whoever's best friend.
We have a show. Chet, are you going to do the. We have a show in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that. Well, you talked about Seattle, Vancouver, and Portland. Is it just one?
Yeah. Well, Seattle and Portland are definitely confirmed. We're working on the
other
two.
What are the dates?
Seattle is December 10th? No, December
11th. Is it back to back? Are they back to back days?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk. I tentatively, yes.
Okay.
I hope to be on those shows with you.
Even if not, we are our show in Seattle. The tickets are on sale. You can find details at our website.
Where are you guys playing?
It's a place called Comedy Underground.
Seattle or Tacoma?
Seattle.
Fucking great.
Yeah, I like
the Comedy Underground.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing. It's going to be me, Jeff May, Quincy Johnson, Alex Schmidt, and hopefully Chet Wong.
Are you guys flying to both cities or flying to one rental to the other?
I don't know yet.
These are the things that excite me.
These are the things we can edit out of this podcast.
Listen, can I have a window seat?
Okay.
Can I just kill? It doesn't matter what we say at this point. People are going to stop listening.
Yeah, people have stopped listening. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Lauren, say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Ellie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Let's go watch that movie, Adam.
Chet, say goodbye, goddammit.
No, I'm saying hello.
Oh,
let's
you
go
motherfucker.
To my house. I refuse to say that.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.